Recording live from the Hoban Law Group here in Denver, Colorado, I'm your host, Eric Singular. We're sitting alongside president and founder of the Hoban Law Group, Bob Hoban. Today we are discussing the impact of coronavirus on the Mexican cannabis industry, and we are joined by Hoban Law Group international attorney Luis Armendariz. Luis, thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Eric. Thank you very much. I appreciate the invitation. Happy to be here.
Luis, tell us a little bit about how your day-to-day has been affected by coronavirus and what you are seeing in Chihuahua.
I think the effects have been maybe delayed or felt for a few days, like after we see things happening or measures taken in other parts of the world. I think our government, especially federal government, could be doing a better job with just getting a sense of urgency as to what is happening. So I guess that caused a reaction from business chambers and companies and just like private entities to get or adopt that sense of urgency and disseminate all the measures and the materials and just the urgency that people should have or should be having right now. So we are seeing just the decision making, gradually being on put on hold in terms of just business decisions about time frames for delivery, where deals for supply chains are that are integrated into global or international supply chains. The review of the force majeure clauses and just obviously the decisions they have to deal with financial commitments. So we are starting to see a slowdown on that front. Obviously, hospitality service industries are being hit right now, and I think it's going to get worse. So things are slowing down. It's a strange vibe. Generally, a lot of companies, firms, services providers are announcing their measures for home office, remote work, and for those businesses that have that depend on the actual attendance or presence of customers or client base, just trying to survive. So on one hand, that's what we see out in the street here in our office. And on the other hand, we're kind of expecting to see what reactions, what measures are going to be taken by the government. Because we're seeing, we just got the stimulus packages from the U.S. government, from Canada, other places. So hopefully we're going to get something here, some help, especially for small business owners.
Well, certainly this has disrupted so many things and just impacted normal life that it's both interesting and to see how things evolve, but also understanding that everybody will get through this. You just have to be smart and thoughtful, to your point a moment ago. But let's turn for a moment to perhaps a lighter topic, given everything else that's going on in the world. And that really is how people can perceive this impact on the cannabis industry or the development thereof in Mexico. Meaning, we were back together several weeks ago in Mexico City, working with some friends on the ground, and we talked about, we met with the Mexican senators, and we discussed policy issues, and we worked with some strong groups that were advancing legislative policy there. And at that point in time, correct me if I'm wrong, but things were moving forward somewhat swiftly, or at least there was an end in sight. Is that right?
Yes, yes. We had so it was the last day, the last week of February when we went, and we not only did we have that very fruitful and successful conference that you gave, Bob, to a good number of high quality industry participants, but then on that same day, the Senate committees resumed the review of the bill, of the cannabis bill that had been postponed since last October. So we were, that talk was on that same day. After that conference, we went straight to the Senate, spoke to one of the senators that are that heads the tax committee, and we spoke about the taxation models on the industry in other parts of the world, so that we could, you know, start preparing for that review. And we had a chance to speak with several senators. So that day, the morning after, those committees got together and approved, in general terms, the bill that will eventually be submitted to general vote in the Senate. So those were interesting days. This bill was approved, like I said, in general terms. And some of the senators that approved it, that voted in favor, they voted with some reservations, which is basically, you know, small comments that they would still like to review and change. So that's nothing substantial, but there are supposed to be minor changes. We're waiting for those reservations to come out. But the fact is that the bill is ready for general vote.
So let me ask you this then. Wasn't there a Supreme Court mandate to get this done effectively by the legislature, by the Senate, to drive this thing before the end of April? Is that the case?
Yes, that's correct. We had this deadline set by the Supreme Court through some resolutions. And these resolutions, when they accumulate five resolutions on the same grounds, substantially resolving and acknowledging the same, you know, legal reasoning, it becomes a jurisprudence, which in Mexico means that all courts and judges have to acknowledge it and follow the same criteria and reasoning. So it's like a mandatory legal precedent. But also a legal effect for that was that since they were declaring some provisions that prohibit the recreational use unconstitutional, they are ordering the legislative power, meaning the two chambers, lower house and senators, to approve this law to legalize. So we had the deadline initially on the last day of October. An extension was requested, and they agreed, the Supreme Court agreed. So that deadline is April 30th. So we seem to be moving in that direction within that time frame. But with this situation, we are seeing, actually the Supreme Court just issued yesterday an announcement saying that they're going to suspend activities except for, you know, some, one or two urgent type of matters.
So that would technically delay the implementation of the law till things settle down, perhaps, given some timing flexibility.
It's going to slow it down because, this is on the judicial power front. On the legislative power, we haven't seen any such communication, but we already know and we are already seeing that both houses are working not at full capacity. So I don't know if they will issue a similar announcement, because they seem to be still holding their sessions and meetings. But I think it is possible, and I wouldn't be surprised that they extend this deadline or this term, which would and the legislative period on April 30th, maybe, I don't know, the last day of May, just for the general agenda that they have as priorities. And you know, the cannabis bill is one of those priorities. I think, but still, I think that we may see in the next few days our communication saying, you know, we're going to take one more month so that we can slow down, take precautions.
So it gets delayed a little bit. It gets delayed a little bit, and ultimately there's an opportunity to move it forward or to continue moving forward and see how other things play out. And some of the features of that law, as I understand it, involving some foreign investment caps, there's a recreational component, if you will, adult use distribution component. There's a hemp and or hemp derivative, a CBD component, if you will, to it. It allows for export. It allows for domestic distribution. Is that pretty much the high points of what this pretty sweeping piece of legislation would do?
Yes, it's in a very, you know, in a nutshell. Yes, recreational, industrial, medical, scientific uses, hemp, and cannabis or marijuana. The distinction being for now at 1% THC, a new government agency being created to issue the licenses, which are going to be five types, sale, import, export, research, processing, and cultivation. So the whole vertical is going to be opened. Edibles, beverages, cosmetics are going to be allowed if they don't exceed that 1% THC. Vertical integration is not allowed except for local or farming communities that were affected by prohibition. There is a foreign investment cap of 49% for those companies that hold licenses. So
Do you think this virus impacts the government's thinking on that, or will, on the foreign investment cap?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. One, because I think that, you know, one of the pillars of this or the justifications from the government for legalizing cannabis is the social justice, so reparation of harm to those people affected by community. So one of the main criticisms of this bill is that in a lot of ways it really doesn't protect those parties' interests. So I think it would have a political cost, a high political cost, if they increase that percentage. And on the other hand, If we see it from an economic incentive perspective, try to help the economy, incentivize foreign investment, I haven't seen a pattern of actions and decisions by the government that favors those goals. You know, a lot of people say that it's going the opposite way, so I don't think it would be in their vision to use this as an incentive to economic incentive for Mexican economy.
Sure. Luis, with global supply chains in question, I'm thinking specifically about China to America. What opportunities do you think this presents for Mexico going forward, especially with the import and export provisions that are there in that legislation?
Maybe this is something that Bob has a deeper thoughts and more information, but I see it in a very general term. I see two ways. One is if we're going to contemplate the import and export license for all types of products, then we as a country are, you know, 130 million people market with different percentages of uses for the different types of products. But the domestic market is really strong. I think it's going to be really attractive for those products that in the short term we have to import, like, you know, CBD products or the oils or the extracts, because it'll take some time for the local production economy to develop and grow. So on that front, I think it's like a strength or something attractive in the international team. And then maybe in the medium or longer term, just the geography and the radiation, the sunlight and the water and just everything that makes Mexico such a an attractive potentially superpower for the production, for cultivation.
Well, I think it's going to happen sooner than you think. And I read an article this morning thinking about how cannabis is on Mexico's front door right now in terms of the next big opportunity, as you described. But what I read this morning was that a lot of the cannabis packaging from around the world is derived from Chinese manufacturers. Ultimately, that because of this virus, that this sort of brings it back to looking at Mexico, and they also mentioned India in this particular article, about sources to go and get some packaging. So what do you think about that happening sooner than later, and do you think that that would have a relation to or a kickstart with getting into the larger cannabis marketplace?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, I mean the plant and a lot of the land is there, is ready. Obviously, plant is being cultivated. So this adjustment or transitory period after the law is enacted, that there are some measures, some provisions for current seeds, the current cultivation projects to register the seed so that, we can eventually transition into a listed seed market, which is part of the one of the aspects that is generating some resistance from certain advocates. But yes, I mean, as soon as we can go through that registration process, put things in order the way the law intends it to be, the land is going to be there, and a lot of like international trade pieces are going to fall in their place for Mexico to be looked at. You mentioned the other day, Bob, that China is going to be closed for 18 months, maybe more time. And the geographic, brings us back to the geographic position that Mexico has in North America, and then the connection to, south of the continent. So, yeah, I think that's going to happen.
Well, and Luis, there were a number of conferences scheduled for Mexico, in Mexico. One example would be Green Tech. These have all been canceled. How do you think that will affect the industry down south, especially as so many people were preparing to kind of meet with investors or meet with other business owners to spur growth? How do you think this will shake out?
I think it's going to, at least in my maybe, limited experience or contact that I've had with the agro industrial groups that are interested in this project, I think that this is going to give them maybe more time to explore how the business works. I'm seeing a lot of people interested on that front of the business to going to the U.S., visiting a cultivation project, just seeing how, the resources that are needed to put it together. A lot of the people, or most of the people that I talk to, seems to have still a lot to learn and understand about the specifics of the industry. They have their strengths as agro-industrial groups, but the more technical part, I think this is going to give them more time to understand and see how they can implement their business. It's kind of uncertain how much time this adjustment or this pause or delay will take, but I think it can be a good thing. I think it's because the conversation is going to continue, so hopefully they can use this time to get more informed and to make better contacts to develop their networks and just get better resources, not go with trends that are maybe here now, but or information, but that it maybe has been for a while or has been updated in other places.
Absolutely. We certainly see the importance in finding the silver lining in all of this coronavirus mm-hmm. pandemic right now. We
yep.
greatly appreciate you coming on and shedding some light on the situation down in Mexico and kind of what we can look forward to in the weeks and months to come as we weather the storm, as they say.
Luis, much appreciated. Your perspective is always valued, and let's keep the conversation going, and we'll stay in touch on this stuff. But at the end of the day, lots of opportunity. We just got to get through what's in front of us first.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you guys for the invitation. I'm here anytime you want to continue to talk.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Hoban Minutes special series on coronavirus and cannabis. You can head on over to hoban.law for more information on this podcast or the Hoban Law Group. If you have any ideas for subjects that we should be covering or any questions you want to pose to Bob or myself, shoot us an email at media@hoban.law. And stay tuned for the next episode on this special series, Coronavirus and Cannabis.